Hi there, and welcome to the latest episode of the Leading with Presence podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Clements. And in this edition, we'll be exploring what it means to be distracted from being present. Or in other words, what can prevent us from being fully present? Usually the answer is some form of distraction. So let's start with an experiment. So if it's safe and you're able to do this experiment, wonderful. If not, please just listen along and come back to it when you're able to. So if you're driving or having to pay attention, best not to try this right now. But if you're willing to play along, take a moment just to become still and see if you can start to become fully present to your experience of this moment, letting go of any thoughts, letting go of any distractions. And for the next probably 10, 20 seconds, I'm going to be silent and just see, can you sit there in presence and not thinking or labeling or considering anything that's happening, but just being present. So here we go. Now, that was a very brief pause, but what did you notice if you were trying that? So what might have happened is a number of different patterns might have emerged. So for instance, you might have immediately become still, become quiet, and became present. And then after a few moments, you might have started to become aware of some thoughts coming in or being pulled into thinking about something you have to do or something you haven't done. Or maybe some noise distracted your attention. And the longer it went on, the harder it was to stay present. That might be one option. Or maybe you found it really hard to get settled for a moment. And then as the silence continued on, you actually became more present. You were able to start to notice what was distracting you and let it go. Or maybe you didn't even become present at any stage throughout that brief silence. And the other option is you might not have been able to perform that experiment, or maybe you chose not to. So those are generally one of the patterns that might have been playing out. And ultimately, I'd imagine that if you were trying along, you were distracted at some point. And specifically, today we're going to be focusing on how our thoughts distract us and keep us from being present. So, you know, imagine we're alive, so therefore we are always thinking and sensing. And if we start with sensing, you know, our body is surrounded by lots and lots of receptors that allow us to detect different types of stimulus. So there's the mechanical stimulus, the changes in temperature, and pain receptors. So for instance, our skin is really, really sensitive. So imagine this morning when you were getting dressed and you were putting your clothes on, for a few brief moments, you might have been very much aware of how your clothes felt against your body, against your skin. Maybe you're aware of the texture, the temperature, how it sat on your body. And then as you started to do other things, you forgot all about how your clothes felt against your skin. And it's only whenever you take a few moments or consciously bring your awareness back to what that feels like, can you start to notice that, yeah, actually I can sense how the fabric feels against my skin. So it takes conscious effort for us to be present to the sensations that are happening within our body. And the same process is happening with our thoughts. Although it's kind of a weird quirk, because we're more likely to stay aware of our thoughts or stuck in them rather than being able to let them drift into the background. So let's do what Socrates did and ask ourselves, well, why? Why is it that we give so much attention to our thoughts? And one of the reasons might be cultural, especially in Western cultures, where we are rewarded by our ability to think. If in school, we're rewarded for being good at thinking, for being good at remembering thoughts and facts. And as we enter organizational life, organizations are set up to generally reward people who are good at thinking. And therefore, we can start to put thinking on a pedestal. So as society, we elevate those that are great thinkers or have great minds onto pedestals and hold them up as examples of this is what it means to be good. So therefore, given our cultural experience and our societal experiences, we can start to associate and make judgments about our identity based on how we think and how our thoughts guide our thinking. Chances are, throughout your life, you've also then been gathering a number of labels about your identity based on your experience, your thoughts, and what you believe about yourself. So, for instance, I am a man, I am an engineer, I'm a coach, I'm a husband, I'm an introvert, I'm not good at something, and so on. Our thoughts have constructed all of these based on the experiences that we've had. However, what if you weren't defined by your thoughts? Whilst your past experiences may influence how you experience today, they don't define who you are or who you can become in the future. And unless we realise this, our thoughts will continue to limit us. They will distract, seduce, and tell us lots and lots of lies that will prevent us from being truly present to ourselves, to our true self. And this then brings in the whole area of neuroplasticity. So until fairly recently, it was believed that our brains developed until a certain age and then they stopped. That was it. We are who we are and we can't change. We don't grow anymore. And thanks to the discovery of neuroplasticity, we now know that's not true, that our brains will continue to change their neural network, they'll make connections, they'll strengthen connections, and they'll remove connections depending on our experiences. So if we have a well-developed habit, there will probably be corresponding well-developed neural pathways that support that habit. But we're in control. We can choose to let go of that habit and change it, to unlearn something, to create new experiences that create new neural pathways, and over time, these can become our new habits of the future. So how exciting is that? We are in control. We have choices. We can choose to rewire our brains based on the experiences and the people that we interact with. So let's think about how can we reframe and change our thinking. So maybe if I can bring this to life with one of my own examples, and how I recently got distracted by my thoughts and perceptions about my own identity, which actually distracted from my presence and enjoyment. So recently, I picked up my saxophone after a 20-year break from playing. My initial thought was that, oh, I have to learn how to play the saxophone again. And that, well, to be honest, I was never really that good at it before. And as I started playing back again, when I hit specific notes, squeaks would come out rather than this lovely tone. And I would tell myself, oh, I'm still learning. I'm never getting the hang of this. And then I'd look at a piece of music and think, oh, gosh, I couldn't possibly play that. It's way too complicated, or it's in an awful key. I'm still only learning. So given these thoughts I was having about myself and my ability, how do you think this limited my ability to be present and enjoy playing the saxophone? Yep, it didn't really work that well because I was concentrating so much on what I wasn't being good at and how I saw myself and how I beat myself up that I couldn't possibly enjoy this activity that I really, really wanted to enjoy. So I decided to see, can I reframe my own thinking? So rather than seeing myself as a learner, I reframed it to be, well, actually, I'm rusty. And I'm re-remembering how to play the saxophone. I used to be able to do this and I can do it again. And when I came across a piece of music that I hadn't played before or was in a funny key, I'd give it a go because you never know, I might be able to play more than I think. And ironically, I could. I was surprising myself. And as I surprised myself and as I allowed myself to play and to experiment and to have fun, I also remembered why I was doing this in the first place. I'm never going to be the next Charlie Parker, and that's not a discounting thought, that's probably a pretty realistic thought, but I'm doing this purely for fun. So whether or not I'm a fantastic saxophone player shouldn't matter. It's not part of my identity. What's more important is whether I'm enjoying it or not. So yeah, you guessed it. Whenever I started having fun and changed my thinking, I actually enjoyed it a lot more and I became more present to the experience in the moment that I was having. I stopped beating myself up and ironically, by being more present and having more fun, my playing actually continued to improve more than when I was beating myself up. So that's my story. Now the question comes for you. Where is your thinking holding you back, limiting you, distracting you from being present, causing you to limit what's possible and to place constraints on your identity? So the first step to start to put this into practice for yourself is to become more aware of how you have created your identity and the thoughts that have come up from that. So I'm going to offer a couple of different exercises that you can consider taking. The first is the who I am and who I'm not exercise. And then the second one is a short meditation. So let's look at this exercise first. For this, you'll need a piece of paper and a quiet space to reflect without interruptions. So when you have time to do this, grab a piece of paper and draw a vertical line down the centre of the paper to create two columns. Title the left column, Who I Am, and on the right column, Who I Am Not. Now reflect on your identity. In the Who I Am column, list all of the words or labels you identify with. These might include roles you've played, characteristics you embody, or any aspects of your identity that you hold dear. And do the same for who I am not. Note down the labels or characteristics that you believe do not apply to you and that you consciously reject or disassociate from. Once you have your list, take a moment to look at your who I am list and reflect on how each of these labels of your identity influences your daily presence. Ask yourself, how does identifying as X affect my interactions and my ability to be present in various situations? And then consider how you might not embody that trait. This helps challenge the idea that these labels are absolute and allows for a broader understanding of your identity. Once you've finished with the Who I Am list, move over to the Who I Am Not and reflect on how not identifying with these aspects might limit your presence and openness in different contexts. Then contemplate scenarios where you have or could have embodied these characteristics even if they feel foreign to you. What would change if you did? Once you've done this, take a moment to ponder both lists you've created and consider what new understandings you've gained about how you perceive yourself and how your perception shapes your presence. And then as you wrap up, acknowledge that your labels and identities are not fixed and that you can reshape them. Recognize that you can choose which aspects of your identity you want to strengthen and which you might want to let go of or reconsider. You might find journaling on this exercise may be useful as well. Also, you might want to listen to the follow-up edition of this podcast, which is a short meditation, which will support you in becoming present while connecting with your head, heart, and gut, and exploring your identity through this form of meditation. So these are just two ways to expand awareness of how you create your identity and that sense of who you are, and to become more aware of how this can distract or interfere with your presence. It's a starting point, and this is ongoing work that we will continue to do for ourselves as we work to become more present to ourselves, but also to be more present with those around us, recognizing that we are not defined by our thoughts, just as our future isn't defined by our past. So that's it for this edition. I hope you enjoyed listening, and perhaps you'd like to join the conversation on LinkedIn and share your thoughts about what resonated or what you discovered, and we can continue the conversation together there. In the meantime, happy reflecting, and don't forget to stay present and stay curious.